It is a joy once again for me to be in your midst. I send you greetings from Trinity ARP Church. We love this congregation, and we do pray for it. We always enjoy your pastor and his family when they come through on one of their long trips. So we send you greetings, and we're very thankful that we can also have one of our families here. The Heron Gozels are with us here this morning, and they're good friends of people here in this congregation as well. So it's good to have some of my flock here this morning as well. Want to thank the elders so much for giving me this opportunity to minister to you. So thank you very much, men, for opening the pulpit to me today. We're going to come now to the reading of God's Word, and the first reading is from Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 speaks to us, of course, of God's great and marvelous sovereignty. And one of the things that we learn in Romans chapter 8 in the scripture reading this morning is that the Lord God is sovereign over time. We will read from Romans 8 verses 31 through 39. Let us hear God's word. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we will turn to the Old Testament in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, reading verses 1 through verse 15. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from all his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he puts eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people may fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. Amen. That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God Almighty. Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the psalms that we were able to sing. We thank you also for the Word of God that we were able to hear. Thank you for giving us Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. We thank you that it is a light for our way. It is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. We thank you that we can hear it this morning. We pray that you bless now the preaching of your holy word. Take the sermon and make it your own. And then use it in our lives, in our families' lives, in the life of this church, in the life of this community, and then in the life of this world. That people might know that Christ is Lord, and that your kingdom may march on and, Lord, conquer, even as you are the true King now seated at the right hand of the Father. So, Lord Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, sanctify this time for your use and glorify yourself and bless us with your great blessing. We know that you love to bless us, so will you do so today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be able to preach to you on this first day of 2012. And I'm also glad that I can preach the gospel to you rather than to try to get you to make New Year's resolutions. And I'm so glad about this because, you see, the gospel is much more powerful than any New Year's resolution. And I'm glad that I can preach the gospel to you from Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Now, let me give you the story or the context that we have here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a great book, for our faith. And I'm kind of jumping into it here at chapter number 3. So I need to give you a little bit of the story behind chapter number 3, or what's the context, as it were, before I come to it. From chapters 1 of Ecclesiastes through to chapter number 2, we learn this truth, that God is the purpose of life. And we learn this other truth, not only that God is the purpose of life, but we also learn that godly wisdom, godly God-given pleasure, godly knowledge and possessions are God's gifts to enjoy for His glory. They are God's gifts to us, for us to enjoy, for His glory. Well, from chapter number 3 to the end of chapter number 5, King Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, adds to this wisdom that God is the purpose of life, and that all pleasure and godly wisdom and knowledge and possessions are God's gifts to us that we are to enjoy. He adds to this wisdom. He repeats the truths found in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Notice with me in verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, "Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is the gift of God." Now notice verse 22. "So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work." And then notice in chapter 5 and verse number 18. The truth is repeated. "Behold, I have seen it to be good and fitting. What I have seen to be good and fitting is this: it is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given to him." So Solomon repeats that truth, the truth that he spoke of in chapter 1 and 2. He repeats it in chapter 3 through chapter number 5. But he adds another truth, as I said. In this section, he slides one extra thing before our eyes to intensify and make the truths of chapter 1 and 2 even more clear to us. And what is the truth that Scripture slides in front of us here in chapters 3 through 5? It is this: that God is sovereign over our lives. It is this truth, that our life is His lot for us. Notice in chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17. "I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter, for every work. And then also, notice verse 22 of chapter 3. So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work. And then I read that, but then notice, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Notice chapter 5 and verse number 2. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. In other words, God is the one who is sovereign, and God's plan is being fulfilled for your life here on earth. And then also notice chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with the joy of his heart. Living by faith in God means enjoying all that God has given you for what it truly is. Living by faith means enjoying all that God has given you for what it truly is. And what is it truly? It is God's lot, God's will for your life. That's the truth that we find in chapters 3 through 5. And of course, Solomon begins by talking about time at the beginning of this section. Time in the sovereignty of God in chapter number 3. And so we're going to talk about that today, this morning. First of all, we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, and we'll see that here, Scripture gives three confessions of faith. And then this afternoon, we're going to look at verses 16 through 22, and we're going to realize there that when we make these confessions of faith, that we are to really make them and must make them by faith. And that's very important for us to understand. So that would be for this evening. But for this morning, we're going to look at the three confessions of faith that we have here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 that connect God's sovereignty and time. The first confession of faith is this: our times are in God's hands. The second confession of faith is this: our God has put eternity into our hearts. The third confession of faith is this: our God fits everything in. We can trust Him. Let's begin with that first confession of faith this morning. Our times are in God's hands. We read of that from verses 1 through 8. Notice verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Verse 1 here is a confession of faith in God, that God determines all of man's times, all of man's seasons. We plan and organize, and yes, planning and organizing have their place. But the Lord has set the times of our lives, and faith confesses this. Faith confesses this. Yeah, I've got my day timer. Yeah, I've got my plans. But the Lord sets the times and the seasons. My times are in God's hands. God is sovereign, not my day planner. Faith confesses this. And we experience this all the time. You know, you had to leave on time for the party to celebrate Emily's wedding yesterday. But getting the kids into the van, spilling coffee on your pants, having to find the keys, worked against you to make you late. Frustrated, you get into the van, you back out and you run over a bicycle. And you're late. Our times are in God's hands. So often in our lives, that's the way it is. Where are those keys? It's not by chance. We don't believe in chance. Our times are in God's hands. And notice this poem. These events here in this poem, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, and so on. This poem refers to the normal life in poetry. And the first thing that we see here is that God's sovereign plan, His timing is from birth to death. God's sovereign plan, God's sovereign timing is from birth, even if you've had to be induced. God's sovereign plan, God's sovereign timing even extends to death, even if there's life support system. For you see, God is sovereign even over the health sciences that we currently have to face in regards to ethics today. God is still sovereign. Man is not in control. Our times are in God's hands. God's sovereign plan, His timing even includes those events that appear to be in man's control. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. Farming, war, building, or choosing to speak or not to speak are things that we think we are in charge of. No, we are not the ones in control. God is. God's sovereign plan, His timing reaches down to our emotions as well. We read that here, a time to cry and a time to love, a time to hate and a time to embrace and so on. God's sovereign plan, His timing reaches down to our emotions. When we laugh, how hard we laugh, who we love and when we love, who we hate and when we hug or have to stop hugging is under God's plan. But are we not free? Do we not have a will? Well, we don't have free will in the sense of the Arminian theology, but we are free, and God made us in His image, so we do have a will. Yes, yes, we are free, and yes, we do have a will, but God is in control. Mystery, yes, this is a great mystery. A great mystery, God's sovereignty and human responsibility. God's sovereignty over our lives and our forgetfulness of where we put our keys. Yes, 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 we are free and we're not robots and we have a will, but God is sovereign. He is in complete control of everything in our lives. He knows the number of hairs upon our heads. He knows exactly when we're going to die and when our children are going to be born in the future and so on. It's a mystery, yet you know that it's true in your own heart. You know that God is completely sovereign over time. But then, is God not the author of evil? Is He not the maker of sin? No, no, not at all, but He is sovereign. God is sovereign, so sovereign that He uses sin sinlessly. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4. It says this in Scripture, "The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble." We think of Psalm 105, verses 23 through 25. We're given this passage. It says, "Then Israel came out of Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And the Lord made His people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate His people, to deal craftily with His servants." Everything under God's sovereign control. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14, where an evil spirit of the Lord comes upon Saul. Oh, God is not the author of evil, but He is in control of evil. God is sovereign over sin. He uses sin sinlessly. Oh, the truth is our times are in God's hands. Think about it. You can't plan how long or how deeply you will grieve over the death of a loved one. You know, there are those people who lived before their little Tommy died. And then there was life after Tommy died. And there are those people who lose a wife and they grieve for a little while, but they go on in life. You can't plan how long or how deeply you will grieve over the death of a loved one. You don't even know when they will die. God decides this. At one time, stones were useless to you, but then you got a stone driveway. And then you tell the kids to be careful, don't throw the stones away. Sometimes we gather up stones, sometimes we throw them away. At one time you had that old picture. Do you remember that old picture up in the attic? And you were going to throw it away, but then someone saw it and offered you $500 for it. And so you sold it. We respond to the situations in our lives, but God puts them into our lives. Behind all of man's activity is the all-encompassing sovereign plan of God. There is a time for every matter under heaven. This is God's doing, and it is our glorious hope. Verse 1 of chapter number 3 is our glorious hope. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Let me explain what I mean by this being our glorious hope. You see, God can be trusted with the seasons and times of His world and our life in His world. Why? Because God uses time perfectly. God uses time wonderfully. God's timing is always right and always glorious. And our Lord Jesus Christ is testimony to this. So go with me on a journey in time, if you would. Go with me on a study of time this morning. And we will begin in the future first. In the glorious new heavens and new earth, where sinners saved by grace in this world will rule and reign with God and the Lamb from all eternity. What is our future hope? What is our future time? Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is our time in the future. This is our time that we are going to. But why will this be? Why is this the case? Oh, because there was a time. There was a season. At Pentecost, Christ poured out His Spirit on the church because on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And He rose from the dead because He was judged as a sinner in our place and died on the cross on the ninth hour. And He could die as the God-man because when the fullness of time was come, when God's timing was perfect, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us from sin that we would be adopted by God forever. And so at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And Jesus not only died, but He lived to fulfill all of God's plan. He said when He came, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe." And so for Him, for Jesus, for God, there was a time too, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant the seed, a time to embrace the woman who was caught in adultery, a time to come and heal the blind, a time to rebuke the Pharisees. For Him, there was a time to keep silent before Pilate. For Him, there was a time to overthrow the tables in the temple. For God, there was time and His season. And He came to this earth because time and time again, before Jesus was born of the Virgin, the prophets, the kings, the priests, the sacrifices, the miracles, the journeys, the axe heads floating in the small little river or the small little lake, all of those promises in the Old Testament, Israel prophesied and were put in place to proclaim and show the coming of Jesus at the perfect time. There was the time of Isaiah, the time of Ruth. There was that happy time of David's rule. There was that sad time of the book of Judges. There was the time of Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob. And there were all the other times in the Old Testament where where all of those other times were ordained by God and used by Him to fulfill His saving, redemptive purposes in this world for you and me. And so in this way, Abraham is ours. In this way, David is ours. In this way, Paul is ours. Because it was all to fulfill God's plan in time. And then there was the time of Eden at the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, when God allowed sin to come into the world. The end for which God created the world was to show forth Jesus Christ in time. And so in God's great plan and His awesome wisdom, He allowed, permitted sin to come. There was that time when Eve and Adam sinned and fell. And it was all for our salvation. Amazing, isn't it? And then there was that time when He said to the woman, about the seed of the woman, that that seed of the woman would crush this devil's head, would destroy Satan. And then there was that time of creation when God made everything very good, even though He knew sin would come in and destroy. All this took place in time because in eternity past, God had planned it all. Even before God created the world, God instituted, God ordained a time, a season, a matter under heaven, the glorious time of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before creation, He was foreknown, foreordained, before the foundation of the world to be the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before all time. Before time, a body was prepared for Him. And He promised before time even began that sinners chosen in Him would be given eternal life through Him. Time is God's servant. And look at our time now. Here we are in the kingdom of heaven. Here we are in this world where there is an empty tomb, where there was a babe born in a manger, God a very God, man a very man. And look at it. This is now the time to believe. This is time now to believe in Him and live. This is time now to declare Him head of your home. This is now time to declare Him head of your business. This is now time to declare Him Lord of everything upon this earth. This is now the time to say no to sin. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Oh, this is the time for faith. The time where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. The time where we celebrate Him at His supper. The time where we wait for Him in that final consummation of all things. And so can we not then trust God for our lot in life? Yes. And don't you want to trust in Him with your life? Don't you want to trust in Him who uses time perfectly rather than your work, rather than your daytimer, rather than your money, rather than your hobbies? Don't you want to trust in Him? He uses time perfectly. Look at Jesus. A perfect revelation of God's perfect use of time. You know, one of the great blessings of God's amazing grace in the human race is that He does not let us forget His great and awesome plan, His great and awesome use of time. The great thing in this world is that God does not let us forget verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under the heavens. And this brings me to the second confession of faith. The first confession of faith is that God is the sovereign over time. But the second is this, that God has put eternity into our hearts. Notice verse 11, the last part. It says there, also He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Maybe you've had this experience. You go on a summer vacation to Chatham. You're going to come and visit us. You're going to come and visit the Heron Gozos, maybe. So you booked a campsite and planned the exact arrival. But then you hit a massive traffic jam in Toronto on the 401. I don't know if you've ever been in a traffic jam, but it's very frustrating. You're at a dead stop. You stretch out your neck to see what's ahead. You get out of the car to look. You stand on top of the hood to try to see if there's a break in the road somewhere, and all you see is a long row of car after car after car after car. And you know what you are? You're frustrated. You look at your clock. I'm going to be late for my campsite. I'm behind schedule. Come on, hurry up. Come on. You're frustrated. And you know, if you could forget your destination, and if you could forget your plans, you would be able to wait much better. And if you or I could forget about eternity with God, we would have less anxiety in our lives. But God does not let us forget. He doesn't let us forget, verse 1. Because He has put eternity in our hearts. And He has put it there in such a way, as it says here, that we can't figure out His plan. But He has put it there in such a way that living for Him and living in the light of His plan always seems so right to us. It always seems so right to live for eternity. It always seems so right for us to live for God. We can't figure out what He's doing in our lives, when we're going to die, who our children will marry. We can't always figure that out, but it always seems so right to live for the Lord. You see, in our lives, there is a yearning, a restlessness, and we never come to that rest unless we come home to God, until we come to the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending of our lives. We know that no man seeks after God. The Bible is very clear about that. No man seeks after God, but that is not because we don't know there is an eternal God who has an eternal plan, but it's because we are against Him and against His plan. That's why we don't seek Him. It's not that we're ignorant of Him. It's because we don't want Him. But God does not leave man alone. God does not leave the sinner alone. He has put eternity into our hearts, and that is absolute good news. God, you see, uses our restless hearts to bring people to Jesus Christ. You see, we have eternity in our hearts because God Almighty has eternity in His heart. John 3:16 tells it to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's heart. Are you anxious? Are you frustrated in the traffic jam between time and eternity, when you will have to meet with God, all of you here, from the smallest child to the 10-year-old, to the 15-year-old, to the 30-year-old, to however old you are? You know you're going to meet God. One day the judgment will come. All mankind will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know you will meet Him. Are you worried about it? Are you frustrated at that truth? Are you trying to forget about it? You can't forget about your meeting with God. Well, let me just say to you that today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time for you to be born again. If you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior, and trust in Him to cleanse you from all of your sins, He will adopt you into your family and give you assurance and peace that you will not meet God under condemnation, but meet Him as a son. Today is the day of salvation. God has given you this time right now. Repent and believe. Your heart is still beating. Will it beat tomorrow? Well, if you die, then the judgment day comes, and then one day the resurrection comes, and then the great white throne judgment. And then if you're cast to God's left hand, there is absolutely no hope for you anymore but eternal hell. God's given you today this glorious church service where the sun is shining into this auditorium to believe. To believe and be saved. To live by faith in the Lord. Oh, give in to this confession. Give in to this confession. God's put eternity in your hearts. Now receive the God of eternity. And be saved. And know the joy of the Lord, which surpasses all understanding. Oh, it's good. It's good to believe in God. He's the one who's sovereign over our history and control of all our time. He's the one who's put eternity in our hearts. And now we come to the third confession, which tells us so much about the goodness of God. It's good to believe in Him because here's this confession. Our God fits everything in. We can trust in Him. Notice verse 11 again. It says at the beginning part of the verse, He has made everything beautiful in His time. Just as He made the history of the coming of Jesus Christ so beautiful in its time. That means in the Hebrew, fits together perfectly. So He will make everything fit together perfectly in our lives. Look at Messiah again. Look at the story of Holy Scripture. He fit everything together perfectly in all history. Can He not fit everything together perfectly in your life? Yes, and this is a confession of faith as well. The thoughts about time and our inability of controlling it led Solomon to ask, is there any gain in the work of our lives? Notice verse 9. What gain? He's just finished talking about God's sovereign control over time, and then he asks, what gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. So, if we can't control time, and God is in control of all of our time, what's the use of working then? Is it vain to work? He asks that question there. We would ask that question too, maybe. Well, if God's in control of everything, what's the point? What's the point of my part in it? Well, Solomon says, no. No, there is no gain in our work if God is not Lord over time. It's the reverse, actually. There is value in our work because God is Lord over our time. And in our sinfulness, sometimes we get that all mixed up. We think if God is in control and I have no part in it, well, what's the use of me even doing anything? No, because God is in control, it's fruitful. And we can have full part in His labors and the labors that He gives to us. God is Lord over time. So God is the great one at work in our lives. Notice verse 14. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. Because He's Lord over time, God is the great one in our work. No matter how senseless or backwards our lives seem to be, we are promised that God has made everything fitting for its time. Mayer put it this way. This means everything, birth and death, war and peace, no matter what it is, somehow everything, just like everything in the history of Israel and Jesus, fits into God's plan. In our lives, we can make stupid decisions and we know that we often sin. But you know, God uses your sin in your life. God even uses your stupid decisions. He uses them for His glory in His way. Because He is sovereign. I can remember one time, I was putting a dishwasher together. Just installing it. And I goofed. And what happened was that I had to undo all that I did. I had forgotten one step and I had to do it all over again because I forgot one step. But it was put together better. I realized I'd made some other mistakes because I had to go back and do it again. I didn't see the whole plan. And so I made many mistakes. Well, God sees the whole plan and all the times He has ordained in your life are fitting. You know, sometimes in our lives we dismiss what has happened in the past. We say, oh yeah, I remember that time, you know, like I made a bunch of silly mistakes there and whew, want to forget that about my life. No, it's fitting. You're not in control. God is, and He brought that into your life for a reason. He brought that into your life for a reason. You just can't see it. You just can't see the big picture in your life. And you just can't see it because you're not God. You ever want to be God? To see exactly how your life is going to work out with your kids' lives? You want to know it all. And that is so vain. Because, as Ecclesiastes says over and over again, you're not in control. God is in control. He can see the whole plan. You're not the one with the plan. God is the one with the plan. However, you and I can see. We can see in Jesus Christ that God plans perfectly. Look at the Savior's life. Look at His ministry in your life. And then you can rest and say, God, You're going to do everything beautiful in its time. All things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to this purpose, because I've seen it in the Savior, how perfectly fitting You did everything in its time. You know what You're doing. And this brings us to live by faith, doesn't it? It brings us to live by faith. Now notice, first of all, God makes everything benefit and beautiful in His time so we can live by faith. Verse 12 and 13. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be in joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So in other words, because God uses time perfectly as we see in the Savior, and we are saved in the Savior, and because God is sovereign and He will use everything in our lives, I can relax. I can enjoy my life. I can enjoy fully, by faith, in the present, all that God has given to me. Do you remember R.C. Sproul years ago did a series? And he wrote that series that was called Right Now Counts Forever. Well, right now, how you receive your food counts forever. With joy and gladness, we can eat today. Right now counts forever. How you enjoy your drink. You can go home and you can enjoy a good glass of wine, a good glass of beer, a good glass of orange juice. Whatever you love to drink, you can enjoy it in God's name. Like Timothy says, giving thanks unto God, for this is sanctified, set apart by the word and by prayer. We can enjoy going to work tomorrow morning because this is what God's given to me. My time is in His hands. The Savior is with me. The Lord is leading me by faith. I can enjoy my work. This is what God's given to me. I can enjoy my wife. I can enjoy my husband. I can enjoy my children. I can relax in life and be thankful for the sunshine, knowing that Christ is ruling in this kingdom and His kingdom is marching on. I don't have to be walking around full of anxiety and full of nervousness. I can rest because God is in control. We can enjoy all the gifts God gives us with gladness and joy because right now counts for eternity and Jesus makes it all possible to do this. So God makes everything fitting in its time so we can live by faith fully in the present. And then we can, secondly, because God makes everything beautiful in its time, live by faith in the blessed sovereignty of God. Again, verse 14, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. What God does endures forever. His plan is set on course. Look at your life and you will see you have no leverage with God. You can't add one single hair to your head. You can't make yourself one iota taller. You have no leverage with God. People think that, right? Sometimes you and I have thought that. Okay, if I do one extra good work, if I give an extra $20 to the church, if I just do a little bit more, I can pry God. I can have a little leverage with Him. No. We don't have leverage with the Lord. The psalmist is right. My times are in Your hands. And don't we want them there? That means all who believe and are saved, they will be the redeemed people of God forever. That means also all who will be lost forever. And this brings us to fear God. It brings us to fear the Lord, which is to trust in Him alone and all that He has done and is doing or will do, for it is beautiful for His glory. This is the beginning of all wisdom and the beginning of all godliness. Of course, our challenge is to trust God with our future, isn't it? From a human point of view, we are worried. We are worried. Will we lose a child before they're older? Will I lose my husband? What am I going to do if my husband dies? Will all my kids... Will I lose my wife? What will I do in my family if I lose my wife? And that could happen tomorrow. You could die before the day is out today. Our times are in God's hands. We worry. We wonder. And God understands this. Even in the book of Psalms, you have the psalmist complaining and at times lamenting and at times being so angry with God because he didn't understand what was happening. And in our humanness, we don't always understand what the Lord is doing, and we grieve and we worry. Will we lose time? Will we lose opportunities? Will we lose our jobs? Will I lose my dad? Oh, children, think of that. Losing your dad. And we wonder and we worry. But you see, God doesn't worry. God is compassionate. God is sovereign and sufficient for all those times, and He will be a Father to us. Verse 15. There is comfort even in this, that which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. In other words, God is sovereign. To us, there is change and worry and heartache, but to God, it's one plan. It's one purpose. And in the end, all things will work together for good. So let the future be the future, my friends, please. Let the future be the future. God will take care of it. Live by faith today. Our times are in His hands. And of course, if we can trust God for our future, we can trust Him with our past. You ever struggle with your past? Trust Him with it. In Christ, He's forgiven it all. And of course, we struggle with trusting Him in the present, don't we? But let's trust Him in the present. He can actually wisely control our lives. And this is true because of Jesus Christ. We don't know what God's will for our times are in detail. But what we... Oh, this is so true. But what we do know in detail is His work for us in Jesus Christ. We know what God's going to do with us in His Son. We know what's going to come in the future. We know that the kingdom is ruling now. We know that the kingdom will march on. We know in detail what He's doing with us and through us in the Savior, because the Holy Scripture tells us that. We don't know how it all works out in the intricacies of the providence of God, but we know the big picture in the Savior. The Spirit constantly then brings us to Him as the leader of our lives. And we see more and more that our times are part of His work in this world. Part of His gospel ministry in this world. Just think about your membership here at Covenant. This is part of Christ's plan for His world. You are part of Christ's plan for His world here in this particular time and place. How it all works out in the providence of God, I don't know. Pastor Schroes doesn't know. But you're here. And you are enlisted by the Lord Jesus to bring forth His kingdom and gospel into this world. It's His work, not your work. We can redeem the time in Jesus' name because He does bring good things out of our work. We wonder, how can He bring something good out of our miserable, sinful-ridden works? How can He bring something good out of my prayers, out of my faith, out of my giving? How can He bring something good out of it? Well, look at how He brought the good thing, Jesus, out of our human history. And so there's the conclusion. Our times are in God's hands. Our God has put eternity in our hearts. And God fits everything in. And you know where we learn this? In the Virgin Mary. At the perfect time, the angel came to the Virgin. And then the Virgin said, how can this be? Seeing I don't know a man, I'm a virgin. And God spoke to her the promise. And she believed and put eternity into her hearts. And she received the Lord. And she trusted. She says, I'm your servant, Lord. And then God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, conceived in her womb at the perfect time, born of a woman, born under the law. And Mary trusted. And we can trust Him too. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious, gracious Heavenly Father, we love You. And we thank You for what You've given to us in the Holy Savior. We praise You that You've done everything beautiful in its time. We praise You that You put eternity into our hearts. And we praise You that You are in complete control of our lives. Truly, Lord, You know our hearts. Like Peter, we are anxious. Like John, sometimes we wonder what's going to take place. Like Thomas, we doubt. We know that that's there. But we thank You that we can confess this morning in the midst of all of our doubts, in the midst of all of our anxieties and worries, that God, You are in control of time. That God, You have put eternity in our hearts. And that God, You have done everything fittingly. It all fits together. And we know this because of the testimony of Your Son. We pray that all of us would receive Him at this time as our Lord and Savior, walking underneath His Lordship, living for His glory. Help us to do this, we pray. Help us to do this with our families. Help us to do this with our marriages. Help us to do this with our church family, to love one another. We pray that You would help us to do this in our communities as well, to live by faith, to trust in You, that You've put us where You want us to be. And it's not by happen chance, but it is by Your providence. So may we reach out and minister to those people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, may all of us today be thankful for our past. Not thankful for the sins that we committed, for we are ashamed of them. But thankful how You brought us through. How that You did not let us go. How that You kept us alive till the time that we heard the gospel of our Savior. How that You preserved us. How that You even now use those sins in our lives to help us help others, to encourage us in our own life. Lord God, we hate sin. That's a wicked thing. And it's very stupid. But yet, we thank You that You are not wicked, but You are perfectly wise. And You even use all of our lives for Your glory. This is a great mystery to us, And the secret things belong to you, great God, and we do not at all assume to pry into them. We just bow before you and thank you that you have given to us a testimony of your grace and perfection in the use of time in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we now behold you, Father, in his face, and we see how much you love us. And we see that you have things planned for us. And we see what our future is. And we see how you will bless us as we fear you. And, oh God, we thank you for your Son. Christ, we thank you that you're our elder brother, that you lead us in our salvation and you march on in time together with us. Sometimes we don't think that the gospel has power in our society. But, oh Jesus, you're still leading us. You're still on the throne. And by that action, Jesus, you're still telling us that, yes, the gospel has power in our society. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And, oh, Holy Spirit, God, we praise you that time and time again, when we open the Bible, when we partake of the sacraments, when we hear preaching, that you constantly bring us to the Savior. You convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, even as you exalt Christ in our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you for your wonderful, comforting, teaching ministry in our lives. And you always take the time for us. Even when we have squandered our time to ourselves, you are the one that is there. And you care for us. And so we bless you. Bless us now as we go to the Holy Supper. Holy Spirit, lift us up into heaven that we may partake of our Lord Jesus Christ by faith and commune with him at this blessed time that you have given to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and empowerment of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.